Blog Talk Radio. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And praise be to the all-wise, wonderful, living God in the mighty name of Jesus. I am your host, Pastor David Ambrose Shaw of My Men of Hope and Deliverance, where hope, and I do mean hope, changes everything. And when I say everything, I mean everything in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise be to the all-wise, wonderful, living God. We give God praise, honor, and glory on this day, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it, in the name of Jesus. Before I go any further, I want to first and foremost want to give honor to God, who is the head of my life, in the name of Jesus. We also would like to honor, in the name of Jesus, my wife, Lady Diane Shaw, in the name of Jesus. And we cannot forget our overseer, Bishop Joel David Trout, out of Atlanta, Georgia, who's very instrumental in the advancement of My Men of Hope and Deliverance. We truly give God praise, honor, and man of God, in the name of Jesus. And at the same time, we want to say hello to all those that are listening by way of Twitter, Instagram, those that are listening by way of Facebook, Skype, our blog talk, in the name of Jesus, listeners, as well as our YouTube listeners. And then those that are in the chat room, we want to say God bless you and thank you for joining us here on this evening. And we also like to acknowledge those that are listening in the archives. God bless you. Hope you enjoy the reading and praise God for you joining in and supporting Pastor Shaw and Lady Diane Shaw Ministry and Friends in the name of Jesus. We have short announcement that we'd like to make, praise God, that we want to acknowledge. That, praise God, on the other day we were occupied temporarily in the name of Jesus on some ministerial assignments that we had that disallowed us from being present at the time of our occurrence or a time of our appointment with Blog Talk to all of our listeners. And we like to also acknowledge to each and every one that due to our environment with the other things that we have going on, we still are going to make valiant efforts to make our point known in our prayer time. Speaking of that prayer time, we come forth every morning in the name of Jesus with corporate prayer beginning at 7 o'clock Pacific time a.m. to 7:30 a.m. And we have 8 o'clock a.m. to 8:30 a.m. Mountain time, and then a Central Standard Time to 9 to 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, and then 10 to 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time. The Word of God also says in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, that men ought to always pray and not in the name of Jesus. If you feel free to join us in with our corporate prayer, because many are in need of prayer on today, then we ask you to please continue to call in to 774-220-4000. Again, that's 774-220-4000. Follow the prompts and then type in 70050#. Again, that'll be 70050#, in the name of Jesus, and you will be brought in corporately to share with us. Again, we thank you for joining us on today in the name of Jesus. And if you'd like to support our ministry here at Monument of Hope and Deliverance, for hope, and I do mean hope, changes everything, and it really, really does, in the name of Jesus, then we ask that you send your donation to 901 North 5th Street, Springfield, Illinois, 62702. That's 901 North 5th Street, Springfield, Illinois, 62702. Also, if you'd like to visit us at our ministry, feel free at the address of 901 North 5th Street, Springfield, Illinois, as well, in the name of Jesus. Our ministry starts on Sundays at 2 o'clock p.m. if you happen to be in the Springfield area, in the name of Jesus. 2 o'clock p.m. In the name of Jesus, feel free to come by and worship with us. We give God praise, honor, and glory for who he is and all of what he's done. We thank God for coming forth on this evening with a powerful reading out of the book Sinead, in the name of Jesus, authored by Bishop T.D. Jakes. Step into your purpose is what the book acknowledges, and we do thank God for the spiritual anointed man of God who has written a very powerful anointed word in the book that he's written for us on today. And this is one thing that I've done. It's taken and began reading out of the book of Destiny. He's also written the book Instinct in the name of Jesus. And we've taken time to read that book as well. We're going to be going through that book once again for those who have missed it in the past as well. We thank God in the name of Jesus for this evening. Done a marvelous thing for us in the name of Jesus for allowing us to make it through this beautiful, magnificent day. We give God praise. We give God all the glory, just being who he is all by himself, that he is truly the great I am that I am. And apart from him, there's nothing else. Apart from him, we can do nothing. Apart from him, we are nothing. But with him, by him, and for him, we can do all things through Christ, which gives us strength. We thank God for forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us of all of our unrighteousness that allows us to be cleared to go to a free will place to our destiny. And we thank God. Today, we're going to continue forth with our reading out of the book of Destiny. Praise God. Step into your purpose, where we're starting to read chapter 7. And the title of that is Maybe It's Time for a Reset. Speaks change your step to get in step with your destiny. Let us read. Do you have any idea who you have the capacity to become? If you were not bound by the confines of your mind, who might you become? What fields of endeavor might you pursue? If you didn't believe that you were limited, too unattractive, too ordinary, too broke, too tall, too fat, too short, too uneducated, too unpolished, or too whatever, what could possibly stop you from reaching out to destiny? The human brain has about a million sensory receptors that manage the data that comes into our mind. Sometimes the receptors are skewed by negative experiences, socialization, and other destiny blockers, and what we see in ourselves is not real. What's going on in your head can seem more real to you than what actually exists. Singer-songwriter Ray Charles declared his ability to hear the composed music in his head. Having gone blind as a boy, Charles' auditory abilities had become highly developed and sensitive. Brother Ray said that when he heard tune in his head, he didn't need a piano to compose it because every part of the song was already completed in his head. The human mind is a powerful processing machine. The best at process is imagination and genius propelling us to new worlds. At worst, the distortion of the minds are mental illness. The mind can make you believe people are following you when no one is around. The mind can cause you to walk and carry yourself like you're Miss America when in reality your looks and your physique are rather ordinary. It's usually a good thing when our minds can propel us beyond our present reality. Most people you and I admire probably found their purpose and calling by resisting the inner tendencies of adequate circumstances around them. They may have been born poor but refused to be doomed by environmental conditions. Who would have imagined that a blind girl like Helen Keller would end up being a world-famous teacher? Or think of the many veterans who came home handicapped, who came home handicapped but refused to allow their physical limitations to enslave them. Instead, with tenacity and perseverance, these brave men and women rose up to lead impressive lives. Renowned journalist Bob Schaefer told me most of the greatest accomplishments occurred after he turned 55. He astonished me not to allow age to deter my move forward. Destiny has no expiration date. A woman was lamenting to her friend that she'd never finished college. I wish I'd stuck with it. I wish I'd stuck with it then, but it's too late. The friend asked, "What's stopping you?" The woman sighed. "It's going to take me 6 years because I can only go part-time. I'm 48 now. By the time I finished, I'd be 54 years old." The friend paused for a moment, then replied, "Well, how old will you be in 6 years? If you don't win, you know you have not gone as far as destiny wants you to take you. Age is little more than a number." Many who have great accomplishments saw that person they became in themselves before they actually grew to be that person. They saw the actor before they ever stood in front of a camera. They saw the entertainer long before they stood on stage. They saw the preacher when there were no congregation. The business owner showed up before the Articles Corporation. The teacher showed up in their mind before they walked through the classroom doors. The vision of motherhood appeared before the baby was conceived. The mind also can give you a negative, distorted image of self. People who battle with anorexia think they're overweight when they are literally skin and bone. I met people who were incredibly talented but who could not see themselves as they really were. Their mind told them they were inadequate or limited. Your mind is so strong and powerful, it can help you to overcome incredible obstacles and position you to envision. Take a chain off your brain. Have you considered whether your mind is open and free to explore the path that God has set for you? Or are you going through life like your brain is chained, locked in creativity and ideas? Free your brain and you will create a mental and spiritual environment for greatness. Examine yourself. Know what you believe. Know your ideas. Know what you stand for. And know what has shaped your beliefs and ideas. Consider your family upbringing, and what you were taught to believe. You may need to take a chain off your brain to develop your own thought and belief system. Your family may have prejudices or biases that you don't hold, but if you walk in around with the family chain on your brain, you may have restricted yourself to a narrow environment without room for people who think differently, who will position you toward destiny. Take the chain off your brain and develop new associates. Build new friendships. Think new thoughts. Who you are raised, how you are raised, be well or always have a significant impact on your life, but does not have to determine your life and certainly doesn't have to restrict your life. If you grow up with brothers and sisters, the dynamics of your household while you are growing up may shape each child differently. An alcoholic parent can raise identical twins. When they grow to adulthood, one becomes an alcoholic. Why? He might say, because I was raised by an alcoholic. The other twin is an absolute. Totaler. Why? He too might say, because I was raised by an alcoholic. Whatever you've been taught, whether heavenly or horrific, it will sure serve a meaningful purpose in your life if you allow it to. The pain you have been through, the losses, humiliations, and the betrayals are all stepping stones to a higher place in destiny. If you are willing to take a chain off your brain, my father's dream was for one of his sons to take over the family business. I understood why that was important to him. My dream would be for one of my children to take over what I had established also. But I learned from my own upbringing that forcing children to be a version of you for family continuity is not wise. My father had invested a great deal of himself into building a visible business and a viable business that could support his progeny for generations. He wanted me to run janitorial service. Many years later, my brothers wanted me to join him, forming a windows and siding company, which I tried for a while and failed at it miserably. If I had lived up to their expectations, it would have been at the expense of my own purpose and destiny. There is no doubt in my mind that both my dad and my brother were really trying to help me, but good intentions don't indicate right directions. I was destined to be a communicator in various forms, like ministry, film, books, and television. Do you have the courage to take chain off your brain, even when the person who put it there is someone you love and who loves you? In spite of that love, they accidentally incarcerated your creativity. But prison is prison, whether intended or not. Think about how you were reared, whether by a mother who worked as a waitress and could barely pay the rent in a trailer park where you live, or whether you grew up like the Huxtable family of The Cosby Show, the popular television comedy of the 80s and 90s. All of what you have experienced plays a role in destiny, even the situations and people you must choose to leave behind in order to arrive there. How to reset. Think of your mind like a computer that actually has to be reset in order to perform optimally. When you reset an electronic device, it goes back to the default system setting, but the default settings have to be changed for the device to get a new normal that yields optimal performance. Likewise, sometimes your perceptions of how the world operates have to change to give you a fresh perspective on your circumstances. All of your experiences shape you into a unique person who God can use to improve your life and someone else's as you step into your destiny. And the experiences that influence us most are lives' default settings. A child growing up in an abusive household can have a mental default set that to victim. If he's not intentional about changing, he will respond as a victim, even though he's now an adult situation. A child is deeply affected by growing up in the poverty in adulthood when dealing in financial matters. It's overly cautious with money or excessive in her spending. A man whose first wife left him for another man has a distrustful default setting in his future relationships. Without a reset, he will be unable to trust a woman in his life and may always be suspicious that she will cheat on him. Sometimes entire families are caught in a dysfunctional default setting and develop and related to one another. Generation after generation falls into this cynical trap, and only a determined few make it out. No matter how many of your family members may be caught into the destructive cycle, you can decide to change and pursue your destiny. The only way to get off welfare is to change your default setting. The only way to get off drugs, to get out of the life of the ignorance or violence, a life of mediocrity, or a life of depravity. None of these is your God-appointed destiny. It's to change your default setting. Life's default settings are not necessarily negative. Our defaults can encourage positive behavior in us, too. When you regard yourself positively with high self-esteem, your default says that you are not the kind of person who cheats others, who abuses your spouse, who disrespects your elders, or who blows your rent money on a weekend in the Bahamas. Your default setting tells you, I'm better than that. This steer you away from negative behavior. Don't reset good mental programming and mess yourself up. Examine your thinking, your values, and your self-perception to get in touch with your current default and determine if it's time for an adjustment. Your default will show you whether you are actually actively engaged in doing you. If you don't consciously know what doing you means, you may be acting solely out of your default. Get to know you so that your actions are purposeful and deliberate toward destiny. Here are five simple ways you can hit the reset button to reach your destiny. 1. Social reset. It may be time to reset some of your associations. What doesn't always mean dropping off old friends as much as it means dwindling your of associates. Fresh contacts, fresh ideas, and fresh conversations all come from new associates. You will gain from your resetting your relationship priorities. 2, spiritual reset. It may be time to deepen your spiritual roots. Change your spiritual influences. Just because you are religious doesn't mean that you don't need to update your faith intake. Feeding your spirit is much gazing and gassing up for a long trip. Spirituality is the gas that gets you to destiny. If you aren't whole inwardly, you are not fully able to optimize opportunities. Your gift could carry you where your characters might keep you. In the late 1980s, a brilliant finance Michael Milliken was inducted into the racketeering. He was indicted into racketeering and securities fraud charges. Milken was sentenced to 10 years in prison, fined $600 million, and was permanently barred from the secretaries industry by the Secretaries of Exchange Commission. At the time in his life, Milken had a gift for making money, but not character. After serving 2 years in prison and surviving a bout with prostate cancer, Milken took a different direction. He is still gifted money and is listed among the top 500 richest people in the world. He established a family foundation and has devoted a significant amount of his time and fortune to helping others. Fiscal reset, number three. It takes strength to live in your destiny. If you're tired, lack energy, and can't maintain a peace of companions, maybe your lifestyle is unhealthy. Train to triumph. This may be a time that resets how you feed the body you need to perform for you when the opportunities come. Though the most important thing is how you feel, how you look does affect the way people perceive you and relate to you. People take note when your skin doesn't look healthy because it's poor diet. They watch you move with greater difficulty after you've gained weight. When you look your best, you feel better about yourself, and it shows in the way you walk and in the way you present yourself to the world each day. Number four. Emotional reset. Manage the emotions that historically have changed you. Not falling easy prey to the emotional slump and pitfalls is critical to living your destiny. Unresolved and untreated emotional disease is widespread. If you need counseling, get it. If you need courage to get you therapy, find it. But don't allow unhealthy emotions to go unchecked. Number five, relax to reset. If you live in a high-stress environment, as I do, you need to know how to take care of you for the long haul. Downtime isn't a waste of time. Rest is as different from laziness as strategy is from manipulation. Rejuvenates while laziness deteriorates. Your body cells need rest to rebuild themselves and fortify you for another day of challenges. Finding ways to distance from your norm and detox is important. It doesn't require an expensive vacation. Find ways to get rest for your body and mind from day-to-day stress. A walk in the park, a visit to Aunt Sadie's house, a weekend camping trip, or even a night at the movies can be highly restorative. We'll come back after these messages, after this short break. We do thank you for joining us with the reading of Destiny, Stepping Into Your Purpose by Bishop T.D. Jakes. We will be back after this.
I feel like I storm is over now. No more cloudy days. They're all gone, gone away. I feel like I can make it. The storm is over now.
Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. And all wise, wonderful, praise God in the name of Jesus. I'm truly honored to be before you on this evening with the continuing reading out of the Book of Destiny. Step into your purpose, continuing forth with our reading for the remaining part of chapter 7. Maybe it's time for a reset. Segment, stay strong in the struggle. We've become familiar with the concepts of reset largely through our use of electronic devices. Resetting the mobile phone or tablet is usually as quick as and simple as pushing a button. It's not so easy to reset a life. Some of us encounter great difficulties trying to reset our lives to steer us properly toward destiny. The transformation process can be overwhelming. If we're not careful, we can be overtaken by a constant wave of challenges to our efforts, to our lives around. A high percentage of drownings occur in shallow water. Among experienced swimmers, it seems like it would be simple enough to just stand up in a shallow water if you were about to drown. But an amazing number of people drown each year from a condition known as shallow water blackout. It seems strange that you could drown in the shallow water, especially after you have survived the deep. It is imprudent to think that you can be overtaken in something you could master. An experienced swimmer does not expect to drown in shallow water. After we've hit a life reset button, things begin to change, some of the better and some seemingly for the worse. Imagine that your life is a song that you dance to. Then you decide to change the music. That means you have to change how you dance and move. You may not always be able to quickly adjust your steps and match the new beat. Sometimes our problems don't arise from the circumstances we predicted and the people we imagined or the places we calculated. No matter how much you try to plan for trouble, you can never predict how long you will have to do the battle or how hard. Most people know that skirmishes are just part of life's journey, but that doesn't make the trip any easier. It's a great challenge to hold on to your strength during those hard times. You can wrestle with challenges for to reach your dreams that you begin to wonder if destiny is worth what you having to endure. You feel like giving up, not because the goal isn't worth fighting for. You're just tired of wrangling with problems and issues. Nevertheless, day after day, you struggle on, hoping finally to catch a glimpse of what the light at the end of destiny's tunnel. The struggle may go on much, much larger and longer than you could ever imagine. The time you get to the end of the fight, you can barely hold on. You wonder if you're crazy for holding on. You've been battling so long and you're worn out. You hope for a stroke of luck. You pray for a bit of divine favor. You look for encouragement to search for compassion and understanding. But mostly, you look for relief. When you're deep in battle, what you need is strength to keep you going. Even when it looks like nothing is going to happen, the toughest times are not at the beginning of the struggle. The beginning of the battle catches you flush. You're vibrant and energized. You're cooked and ready for a fight. You adopt and bring it on. Attitude knowing you will win. You're able to put all your energy into the fight because you're determined to beat whatever confronts you. And you can do it in the beginning. When you find out an extramarital affair is tearing up your marriage, you're ready to fight. You're determined to hold on to your spouse and to your family. You're dangerous even when you hit a rough spot in your small business. You're ready to fight to save the company you worked so hard to build. You're willing to go to the mat. But what do you do when the struggle seems to have more tenacity than you? How do you stay strong against what seems stronger than you? How do you keep the mental, emotional, and physical stamina to wrestle with fate until it swings favorably in your direction? When you are closest to the shore is when you're closest to collapsing. Florence Chadwick was a champion swimmer. In 1952, she attempted to swim the span of the peaceful Pacific Ocean. Before California's Catalina Island in the state coastline, as she began the 26-mile journey, she was accompanied by small boats and porters who watched for sharks and were prepared to help Florence if she got hurt or grew tired. Thick fog rolled in after about 15 hours of swimming. Florence recalled that after already having spent so many hours navigating the waters with her body, she began to doubt her ability. She didn't think she could make it, but she kept going. She swam for another hour before asking to be pulled out. Physically and emotionally exhausted, she was tired, and in her mind, the California coastline felt like it was a million miles away. After she got into the boat, she learned she had stopped less than a mile short of her destination. Couldn't see the shoreline, and the journey began to feel impossible. All I could see was the fog. She could tell news reporters the next day, "I think if I could have seen the shore, I could have made it. When it seems like we are so far away from our destination, we wait and want to quit. That's the time to dig in our heels and keep on in the struggle. Don't get into the boat and stop short of your intended destination. You likely are closer than you could ever imagine. Keep seeing the destination in your mind so it will give you the strength to relentlessly move toward it. Despite the tiredness, despite the aches, despite the feeling of wanting to give up." 2 months after Florence's failed attempt, she tried again to swim from California coastline to Catalina Islands. During the journey, the same thick fog set in, but this time she succeeded in reaching the shore. This time she knew she had to keep her destination in sight. The second time, Florence was victorious because she kept the mental image of the shoreline in her mind as she swam. She didn't forget where she was going, and it gave her the strength to keep on until she reached her destination. When you are in a struggle, keep your destination in sight. If your goal is better life for your children, take a moment to watch them as they sleep peacefully during the night because they trust you to take care of them. If your goal is physical fitness, keep that image in yourself in good health and that goal, body weight. Look at the old photos of yourself and that you can be at your goal weight. If it's the corner office at the company, take a photo and post it on your wall. Look at it often. Keep your destination in sight and keep going. You may be closer than you think. You're aching, but keep going. Even though you're bruised and feel beaten up, keep going. You may feel like you're slowly shutting down, but find strength to keep going. Never give up. Your next attempt will be the one that takes you over the top on your way to destiny. Your next business presentation may get you to the multi-million dollar contract. Your attendance at the next social function that you hate going to may be the place where you meet your spouse. Your next job interview may be the one where you hear you're hired. You will make it through the storm. There are all kinds of storms, too, emotional, relational, vocational, familial, and the like. Your whirlwind doesn't care that the rest of your life must go on emotionally, mentally, physically, professionally, spiritually. Blizzards may come in and may almost succeed in overtaking your life as they attempt to take you down for the count. A cyclone of suffering may move in and attack your health, not caring that you are a provider of your household. A hurricane of trouble can overcome your home and make you feel like you're filming an episode in Teenagers Gone Wild. Life has all types of disturbances that may have a struggle to overcome. The toughest storms are those that other people can't see. Undetectable monsoons for distress make people think you haven't been through anything because you get up every morning, take a shower, comb your hair, dress well, go about your business with a smile that you put on, just like your outfit. That's a secret storm. Married people go through secret storms. They may be holding hands in public, but at home they argue constantly. A business owner may drive a nice car and live in a great home, yet be on the verge of filing for bankruptcy to give her a chance to recognize the company. While people were celebrating the accomplishments they could see, you may be battling a quiet hurricane they can't see, and you strive with all your might to uphold the image. Maintain a certain public persona is important. There's nothing wrong with it. It's reasonable for us to project our best selves in public. We present your best self to the world, and frankly, there are some times when it may be determined for people to know the struggles you're going through. A real estate broker needs to look prosperous, even if he's having a tough time in the market. Most people would be skeptical to contact a realtor who pulls up in a hoopty to take them to a showing. Image is important, but trying to maintain that image can break you down if you're in a storm and you have not known how to stay strong. We value our reputation and our name. We want to fit in with certain group of people, whatever group that is, a professional group, social group, a financial group, a religious group, or even a community group. We want our peers and going well and that there are no problems. We can't continue to show that self until real calamity hits. As a pastor, I've been at the nadir of people's lives when things got so tough they could no longer show only their public face. Comes, no one has time for a mask or a facade. There's a level of transparency I've been able to witness in people, from presidents to pauperers, because I've been called in to counsel at the most challenging times in their lives. I've counseled some people as they fell apart privately while letting outsiders believe that all was well. A secret storm is a terrible kind of hell on earth. When you go through a visible storm, someone would hand you an umbrella to assist you because they are aware of your suffering. But if no one knows you're in trouble, they assume that how you look on the outside is how you're feeling on the inside. Secret storms are internal traumas you endure when someone is jealous of a car you're driving, not realizing that you're too much behind on payments. You don't announce to everyone that you're struggling to pay a note, so you deal with your anxiety as a private storm. Or the coworkers who are envious of your job promotion don't realize you're under so much pressure in the new position that you've even slept at night. You can't even sleep at night. So you come to work each day and put on your game face, never revealing the truth about your restless night. If this is my God-given destiny, why am I battling through all these storms? Don't take a life storm as an absence of God. When people are in a storm, they tend to wonder, where is God? Then they think if God were with them, they would be in a storm and things go smoothly. A family would not be in turmoil. Bill collectors wouldn't be calling. They ask questions like, how can God be with me and I have cancer? How can God let my children die, my child die? How could my house be in foreclosure? When we are in a storm, most of our time is spent trying to figure out how to get out. Usually we are focused on getting out that we can't see straight. No one can see clearly in a storm. That's why we must walk by faith and not simply by what we see. The storm is hard, but there's a purpose for the storm. The storm is uncomfortable, but there's a purpose for the discomfort. God has plans for you even in the storm. Because you are in the storm does not negate the presence of God. When you get through battling the storm, you'll have more wisdom, more tenacity, more power, and more vision to take you forward. The storm can make you stronger and give you confidence to handle future challenges. It's a part of our growing process. Parents must allow their children to learn how to struggle well and grow strong enough to survive. A young woman who suffered massive injuries from a car accident recalled how her mother allowed her to struggle through the rehabilitation process. I had to learn how to do everything all over again. I had to learn how to tie my shoes. I remember falling off the couch one day. My mother heard me fall, but she never came to help me. I was so angry with her at the time because it took me almost an hour to get myself back on the couch. I later realized that she allowed me to struggle so that I could learn to live independently again. God will not make you comfortable in your storm, but will be right there with you. God has reserved a place for you in life that is your destiny, that is a divine promise for your Creator. You will arrive at destiny if you do not give up and you do not succumb to the storm. But don't be so distracted by the storm that you lose awareness of God's presence. Are you steering your life based on what you see or
see you steering your life based on what you believe instead of steering in the sensual realm, steering the faith realm. Before the first streak of lightning flashes, before the thunder roars, before you even get wet, get one thing settled. I'm going to make it out of this storm. When you see the dark clouds rolling in and feel the moisture in your air, determine that you are going to come out. You may not have the details, or you may not have the money to make it out. You may not have the social or political connections to make it out. No matter how it's going to happen, resolve in your spirit that you will make it out of the storm. The most important thing in life requires struggle. As you battle your storm, look for the people who struggle and made it through. They can help you know you're not alone, to hang in there before the storm won't last forever. They can support you when you feel like you're about to drown under the pressure. They can help you know that if they made it out of it, so can you. Find some people we've struggled in the struggle that you in similar way made it out. Establish relationships with trusted people who can keep you connected and sane while you're going through your storm. You need people who can provide affirmation that they made it out and that you too will see your way past the storm. Change your mind to a new normal. Once you reset your mind and have cultivated the new normal, you may on rare occasions revert back to old thoughts or behaviors. But don't worry or freak out. Since it's no longer your normal, it won't be a permanent reversion. You might get back in it, but you won't stay in it. A pig and a sheep can fall in the same mud. The pig is defaulted to like the mug because it cools him down and keeps his body temperature from rising too high. But the sheep, himself in the same mug, he will say, I don't belong in this mess, and set about getting out. Find out where you belong and determine how to get out of there. You may have to first get out of the place where you're going and you don't belong. When I lived in West Virginia, I knew a woman who was in a very abusive relationship. Her husband was a big guy, about my size, and she was about a third of his size. He used to beat her, but she always went back to him. No matter what we said to her, she would always go back to him. One day she finally realized, I don't belong in this mess. When she changed her mind, she no longer accepted herself as an abusive woman. The husband can no longer hold her captive mentally or physically. As long as her mind was enslaved to his abuse, she was captive. Same is true about being captive in debt, ignorance, illiteracy, and whatever terrorizes you. You may have been through some terrible and degrading circumstances, abuse, job loss, bankruptcy, assault, but you don't have to be captive to those experiences. The first challenge is getting your mind out of there. Once the mind is free, all else becomes possible. Once you get your mind clear, you can see a beautiful person you become and pursue your destiny. The mind is your personal war between right and wrong, success and struggle, destiny and mediocrity. It doesn't matter how successful you are, the battle is still there. You will always have the challenge of keeping your mind in the new place of normal, because there are constantly new situations, new challenges, and new opportunities. If you are not flexible enough to change what is in your head, you can't change your life. Losing weight, being faithful in marriage, going after a new job, living honest and true. Change the mind, or you won't change anything else. Or you're willing to allow a new truth to be planted in your mind to replace past experiences. Or you will instead be imprisoned to a future of ignorance or weakness or evil or fear. A changed mind means even if people come to you with the same behavior, you don't respond in the same way you used to. Growing up was of the family. My brother and sister used to tickle me and it made me laugh. So they kept doing it. I would laugh so hard I couldn't breathe. I didn't like the feeling, but I couldn't keep them. I couldn't get them to stop. Through the experience, I found a secret that was more powerful than them to stop tickling me. I changed my mind. Since I couldn't control their tickling, I decided that I would no longer respond to their tickling with laughter, and they stopped. When they could no longer get the desired result, they no longer wanted to tickle me. That early experience taught me a valuable lifelong lesson about the power of the mind, of a made-up mind. When you decided that you are not inadequate, the person who always puts you down with negative comments will no longer have power over you. The person who makes you feel inferior or intimidates you will have no impact on your change. You don't have to be anything you don't want. Emotions, feelings, thoughts, or fears are secondary. Change your mind. Well, that brings us to the conclusion of our reading from chapter 7 out of the Book of Destiny on this evening, in the name of Jesus. And we thank God truly for this segment that's entitled, Praise God, for a Reset. And we thank God for a reading out of the Book of Destiny written by Bishop T.D. Jakes, in the name of Jesus. Destiny, step into your purpose. We do truly want to thank you for joining us, for hearing in. For those that continue forth to listen as we continue to bring it forth on this evening, we thank you for coming with us on this evening, and we ask that you continue to smile, because God truly is on his throne, in the name of Jesus. God bless you. Have a pleasant evening. Till we meet again, be blessed.
To recession, depression, and unemployment. This song is for you.
Today's a new day, but there is no sunshine, nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night. Today's a new day, but where are my blue skies? Where is the love and the joy?
I'll be honest with you.
I almost gave up.
How much better I'm gonna be when this is over.
I smile, even though I hurt the eye, smile. I know God is working, so I smile. Even though I've been here for a while,
what you do?
I smile.
Come on and
smile. It's so hard to look up when you get down. Sure would hate to see you give up now.
God's people.
Today's a new day, but so tell me, where are my blue skies?
Where is that love, y'all?
Where is the love and the joy that you promised me? Tell me it's alright.
The truth is,
I almost gave up, but a power that I can't explain.
That Holy Ghost power, y'all,
fell from heaven like a shower down.
Now I know we've been hurt, y'all, but still.
You're in right now.